My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hola! Halfway through our show. Wow, that moved quickly, those first 2 hours. Between the Dallas Mavericks grabbing the opener of the Western Conference Finals, the Florida Panthers grabbing the opener of the Eastern Conference Finals in the Stanley Cup postseason. So two road teams winning on Wednesday night. And Caitlin Clark as a member of the Fever on the road at Seattle, not winning, but coming as close as they have to a victory. Man, what she called the longest minute of her basketball career ever as it was hanging in the balance there. And they're getting closer. I just am so pleased with how fans have embraced not just Caitlin, but the Fever and their own WNBA teams. It's super cool. Now, while we're watching this explosion in popularity for women's basketball this spring, pretty soon, everybody has to get in line behind the NFL. That's just how it works. And I'm pretty sure every other sport knows it too. I wish that I could be a fly on the wall in some of the NBA executive meetings when the NFL announces it will continue to play on Christmas. I wish that I could be there. No doubt. They are No doubt they are unthrilled with the idea. I just made up a new word. Just because. Just so you know, I'm not reading off a teleprompter. Just kidding.
That's how upset they are.
Definitely are. There's no way that the NBA has endorsed that move. But the NFL just doesn't care. That's how it goes. Now, it's for better or for worse with the NFL. In some cases, we know that the extreme popularity of football in this country and in other parts of the world too, but specifically in the United States, I'm not ready to relinquish our ownership of the NFL just yet. We are the experts of the NFL here in the United States of America. It's our football. You go anywhere else around the world and football is well, you have to say football.
It's round.
Right. Well, you have to say football de Americano or something like that to indicate that it's our football, not their football. But I like it that way. However, the extreme popularity and high profile of the sport often comes with criticism, right? It often comes with a spotlight that is harsh to the point where athletes who are outside of the realm of football, meaning they're doing their own personal things on their own personal time, can still be magnets for media coverage or magnets for attention. This is an example that I think you'll all be pretty familiar with. It even came up in my class at Syracuse this year. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, Right. So that relationship is bigger than football. And now Travis has really transcended the sport. He's become a household name for a lot more people who maybe never cared at all about tight ends in the NFL before last season, before he started dating Taylor Swift. As a side note, did you see what happened to Taylor at her latest concert? I think this was in Sweden. It wasn't in the United States. She had some type of a wardrobe malfunction. You can Google it. The video's out there. And I don't know what precipitated it. I only saw a short video, not the full complete video. She's playing the piano, which she does. She's obviously a very talented artist. She's at the piano. She's singing a song. Something happened with the outfit that she was wearing. It fell off. She is up there on stage without a shirt. She's just up there in her bra. I mean, it wasn't immodest. She wasn't exposed, although she probably felt that way. But I mean, I've seen bikinis that cover more than what she was wearing, only that it's right in the middle of her playing a song. And so one of her stage hands, one of the members of her crew, comes up, gives her another outfit. She, still singing. She puts her arms through the sleeves, sits back down at the piano, and while she's performing, she kind of buttons it. I think it was a front button outfit. So Jay is seeing it now. So again, I don't know what happened to the other outfit. All I caught was the stage hand. I caught her without a shirt on. Like, not caught her. That sounds weird. I caught the part of the video where she's not wearing a shirt, where she's already lost her old outfit. And a lot of these performers, the outfits are designed so that they can be put on and taken off quickly. So no doubt this is one that, you know, she's able to slip into quickly backstage when she's changing in between songs. And so, yeah, it was kind of one of those that sealed in the front or that buttoned and fastened in the front. And so she just slips right into it, kind of ties it or snaps it. There was maybe a snap or it couldn't have been a button because buttons can be tough, but like a snap or a tie. And she, without missing a beat, just keeps on going.
She's singing, she's playing the piano, like you said, doing her song still as she's buttoning her new shirt on, which is impressive. Hey, show goes on, right?
I mean, awesome. But the thing is, the video's now gone viral. Not that it wasn't going to. Like, I happen to see it on Twitter. Fox News had the video. So I happen to see it on social. It was going to go viral anyway. But it takes a special type of young woman. She didn't intend to be up there without a shirt on.
That was not part of the costume.
Right.
Exactly.
That wasn't part of the show. And I know that there are some outfits she wears that, you know, that they show body parts. I'm not saying at all that she's immodest or anything like that, but whether she likes it or not, there is now a viral video out there of her just at the piano in her bra. Good for her. I'm going to tell you, and I admire her. I like some of her music. I'm not a Swiftie. I can't name more than, say, 10 Taylor Swift songs. Probably Sorry. You can hate me if you want to. It's not that I dislike it. It's just not my jam as much. But I have a lot of friends who are huge Taylor Swift fans. They followed her concerts, blah, blah, blah. I admire her because she is a business mogul. The woman has taken over. Now that she's in a position where she can make her own decisions. Remember, when she was coming into music, she was in country music. Her first few songs, one of them that went big was Tim McGraw. And she wrote her own music, but she was signed to a record deal and didn't, if you don't know how it works, she didn't have final say over decisions that were made about her music or even which songs to release or how they were produced. And so that's why she's coming out now with all of these Taylor's version songs. She's re-releasing her albums and doing it in a way that she prefers. So whether it's the production, whether it's an acoustic song versus the other instruments that were added, whether it's the background, singers, whatever it is, she now has autonomy over her music because she's out of that record deal. And so she's re-releasing all of this music that sounds more the way that she intended it to. But you have to get to a certain point in any industry. Same thing in radio, right? When I first started, my bosses had a lot more control over not what I said, but how I said it and how I presented myself on the air. Now that I've been in the business for nearly 30 years, you can't, I mean, you could try to tell me how to do my radio show, but it's not going to work. It's my radio show. I take ownership of it, whether it's positive or negative, whether I succeed or fail, it's mine. And while I wouldn't always take feedback from a boss, I'm certainly not going to tell or not going to allow someone to tell me how to do a radio show anymore. So anyway, she's reached that point now where she's autonomous and she's this incredible business mogul. The money, and it's not just the money, but the money, the popularity, the corporate partnerships, the tour, the sold out stadiums. I mean, that's all Taylor. It's because not just she's talented, but because of how she handles her business. She is a great business savvy. And also because of how she treats people. Over and over, you hear of interactions between fans and kindnesses that she extends to people that she doesn't know or to friends. She's not only is she accomplished and she's savvy and she's clever and she's confident, but she's also got a very kind heart. And that's what people love about her. But watching this video is the craziest thing, right? I admire her for that reason. Now I'm like, damn, without missing a beat, like, could I do that? Could I be sitting at a piano doing something I love? Somehow my top falls off and I just keep performing
in front of 80,000 people.
Oh, and knowing that it's going to go viral because everything she does goes viral. So, yeah.
I guess you just kind of got accepted at that point, right?
Right. So all that to say, the NFL is that big. So where pretty much anything that's even remotely controversial in the NFL, it becomes a headline. That happened recently with a commencement address that Harrison Butker, the kicker of the Chiefs, delivered. Now, it's not as though I didn't know about it. I've known about it. Not only have I listened, but I read the transcript. I've heard a lot of the reaction to it. I chose not to bring it up for this reason. And you can agree or disagree with me, but what did I just say about how I do my radio show? This is my decision. I have to choose not to care about what athletes do in their personal lives. I cannot get, as much as I may agree or disagree with their politics, with their family decisions, with their choices about what they do with their money, like all these things, right? None of that can have an impact on how I do my job. I have, in my life, in my career, covered athletes that personally I despise. And for the most part, you're not going to know it. Or who I do not respect. Right? I have some pretty high standards, some pretty high values. There's a lot of trauma in my own family past. And so, of course, all these things affect us, right? So for that reason, I have chosen that what an athlete does in his personal life, in his personal time, as long as it's not criminal, right, and doesn't impact what he or she does on the field, the court, the ice, or their availability to play, anything that is outside the realm of what I do for my radio show, I choose not to get involved in their personal choices and decisions, because if I start to have emotions or opinions about what they do away from the sport, again, we're not talking about criminal. If that's a completely different thing. But I have to be careful that I don't start to judge and evaluate other humans, especially other athletes, based on, for instance, if a guy cheated on his wife. Do I think that's despicable? Yeah. But I can't only talk about athletes with whom I agree about every single one of their choices. That's not even possible. It's not human nature, right? So I walk a very fine line. People, they come at me all the time. How can you talk about Ben Roethlisberger? How can you talk about Kobe Bryant? How can you talk about this guy? How can you talk about that guy? Well, I have to. That's my job. And so I am very careful about the opinions I share when it comes to what people do in their personal lives. Okay. Because that, I don't want that to impact how I cover the athletes and the games themselves. All that to say, I actually wasn't so sure. Well, I take that back. I didn't think that what Harrison Butker said at the commencement address at a Catholic college was all that controversial. Maybe it's because of my background. Maybe it's because I went to private Christian schools. Maybe it's because of my faith. I'm not Catholic, but I am Christian. And I didn't think his opinions were even headline worthy. I felt like it was actually unfair to him, the number of people or the number of headlines that were out there that painted him as a man who came from the dark ages or a caveman, right? Who said women should go back to the kitchen. Harrison Butker said no such thing. He did not say women should get back to the kitchen. And trust me, I've heard it before. So if he had said that, I would have had a reaction. It was his opinion. And I don't think his opinion was incorrect, right? Opinions just by nature are not right or wrong. They're just opinions. It was his opinion. It was his wife's opinion. It was their experience as husband and wife, as mother and father in a Catholic family, a family that professes Catholicism as their faith. And whether you've heard it or read it by now, who even knows how it was described to you? He was essentially talking about the fact that there is a vocation of homemaker, that women, he believes, again, according to his wife's experience, that women can be happy. A lot of women might even be happier if they were able to stay home with their kids. I mean, keeping in mind that a lot of families in this country can't afford to have single income. I mean, that's not a luxury that many mothers and fathers have. So I'll just use my own family as an example. My brother and sister-in-law, they've both worked full-time. When my nieces were younger and were still like toddlers, my sister-in-law took a few years off from work, but she went back to work when the girls went back to school. There are a lot of families that do that, right? I've got some really close friends who are incredibly smart, intelligent, successful, brilliant career women. And whether by choice or because of economics, you know, they've had to continue working. But I also have some brilliant, career-minded friends who, when they had kiddos, chose to stay home or chose to take a part-time career or change their careers. Who knows? Maybe I will do that too. Every family and every situation is different. And his point was that women can also be excited about staying home with kiddos, and that being a homemaker is also a job, and it's an important one at that. It was his opinion that more women would be happy if they did that. I get it. These days in our country, we only allow people to have opinions if we agree with them, right? I mean, that's kind of how our society is going, especially on social media. You're allowed to have your own opinion. We're all entitled to our own opinions until I don't agree with yours. I mean, that's really what social media is about. The whole point is whether or not you agree with Harrison Butker, he was expressing his opinions. He was not denigrating women. Again, I've been the subject of this before, so I can recognize it pretty quickly. He wasn't saying that women shouldn't be out of the home. He wasn't saying that they should be back in the kitchen. He wasn't saying that women shouldn't be working. I mean, all of that it's a gross exaggeration, and it's not accurate. So I really didn't think it was all that controversial. I actually thought the controversy was in the way that he was portrayed, and that, again, somehow in this country, we're only allowed to have opinions if we agree with them, or we're only allowed to have opinions if other people agree with them. So I just didn't bring it up for that reason. However, because both Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and actually Roger Goodell as well, addressed it on Wednesday, I was kind of surprised about Roger. I wasn't expecting that, and I don't really know the context. Jay, do you know why he was speaking to the media?
Why he was speaking to the media, I'm not sure. Yeah, okay. I know someone asked him about it, but I don't know why he was there.
Yeah, so I'm not sure exactly how they got to Roger Goodell, but he was talking about the 18-game schedule. Maybe that was the whole point of him speaking. Got to the 18-game schedule, and then he was asked about Harrison Butker, again, giving a commencement address. I mean, I kind of feel like that's what commencement addresses are for. First of all, you got to know your audience. Second of all, aren't they about sharing our own life experiences and trying to use them to encourage the young people that we're talking to? It's my opinion that Harrison didn't say anything that was negative about women. He was just using he and his wife and their family life and the way they've raised their kids, the ability that he has to be able to make money, extra money, so that she can stay home. I mean, I don't think it's all that controversial because there are a lot of women out there that I'm sure wish they could stay home full time and didn't have to work and could be with their kiddos as opposed to putting them in childcare. It's just a matter of opinion, a matter of lifestyle, and a matter of how you grew up. It's not a luxury that every American family has. And so I was glad to hear his teammates stand up for his right to have his own opinions. And I was also kind of impressed with what Roger Goodell said as well, as opposed to kind of going with the hot take. He seemed very tempered and measured when he was asked about Butker's comments.
We have over 3,000 players. We have executives around the league. They have a diversity of opinions and thoughts, just like America does. I think that's something that we treasure, and that's part of, I think, ultimately what makes us as a society better. But we're not going to go much beyond that statement that we made last week.
All right, so Roger Goodell not really wanting to touch it, but is saying again at the end of... So Jay looked it up. Apparently there were more league meetings going on in Nashville. Uh-huh. The NFL has league meetings every other week. It's their thing. They like to move them around, too, so that they can...
Keep it fresh.
Right. They can go from city to city. I wonder how often he's actually home. Seems like he's not home that
Probably
much.
Probably got a home in each of these cities, honestly, at this point.
Anyway, so he is... Just saying, hey, guys are allowed to express their opinions. Isn't that what America is based on? And I think it used to be. I'm not sure that it is anymore. Sometimes Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, they were also weighing in, and Andy Reid using his humor. He didn't talk about hamburgers, though. I really wish he had somehow worked hamburgers into the equation.
I don't turn any of them away.
Anyway, if he had done that, I would have considered him brilliant.
I grew up on In-N-Out.
Anyway, you'll hear from Butker's teammates coming up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's interesting that Harrison Butker did this commencement address. It's a Catholic college in Kansas, and he actually told the story when he started the speech about how he turned down the invitation initially, that he had done a commencement, I'm not sure, a couple years ago, and he decided that one was enough because he's not a public speaker. That's not what he ever wanted to be. But he said the the president, the leader of this particular Catholic college, was very persuasive and asked him, kind of pleaded with him about, hey, these students have been through so much. They survived COVID. Now they're graduating. It would really mean a lot to me and to them if you could address them. And so he did. And as I said, I've read the, not only read the transcript, but I've listened to the parts that I thought were, people were so upset about and were going to be controversial. And I just don't find them that way. I do understand that his life and the way that he was raised and his values and his opinions are not going to be held by everyone, right? That's kind of why we have freedom of religion in this country, is because we recognize that we worship differently, we believe different things, and that's okay. So keep in mind, he was speaking to a Catholic audience, and a vast majority of the students that were graduating or were sitting in that audience, they are Catholic students, they are Catholic faith, and that's where he was coming from. And he was sharing his own experience, he and his wife. And I thought actually he was very complimentary of the young women who were sitting in the audience and were just trying to encourage them, you know, that it's okay to embrace one of the other really important roles, which is homemaker. I don't believe that that's not as important as some of the other roles that you will have in your life. And whether or not Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes agree with him, they were both asked about Harrison's comments on Wednesday, and they both had that same response, which is, hey, those are his opinions.
I know Harrison. I've known him for 7 years, and I judge him by the character that he shows every single day, and that's a good person. That's someone who cares about the people around him, cares about his family, and wants to make a good impact in society. When you're in the locker room, there's a lot of people from a lot of different areas of life, and they have a lot of different views on everything, and we're not always going to agree, but and there's certain things that he said that I don't necessarily agree with, but I understand the person that he is, and he's trying to do whatever he can to lead people in the right direction. And that might not be the same values as I have, but at the same time, I'm going to judge him by the character that he shows every single day. That's a great person.
We're a microcosm of life here. Everybody's from different areas, different religions, different races, and so we all get along. We all respect each other's, you know, opinions, and not necessarily do we go by those, but we, you know, we respect everybody to have a voice. It's a great thing about America, man, and we're just, like I said, a microcosm of that. And I wish, you know, my wish is that, you know, everybody could kind of follow that.
And I really appreciate that. I do. And he's so right. And I hear that from a lot of former NFL players, guys we have on the show. A locker room is essentially a microcosm of American society. It's a large locker room, right? As Roger Goodell pointed out, they have, what, 3,000 different players, not to mention you've got coaches and staff members and coming from all walks of life, ethnicities, cultures, socioeconomic backgrounds. It's a hodgepodge. It's the melting pot, which is what the United States of America is supposed to be. And let's just say, for the sake of argument, that there was a Muslim player who spoke to a group of fellow Muslims and was sharing some of his opinions about family life, which, as you know, the Muslim culture is very different than a lot of Western culture. I dare say there would be protection for that too. And there should be. As long as Harrison was respectful, which, please go read it or listen to it if you haven't heard it. I appreciate that his teammates, his coach, the people who know him the best, are at the very least standing up for his right to share his opinions. And again, keep in mind the audience he was speaking to. He was speaking to people who share his faith, which is, I think, critical. A reporter tried to ask Andy Reid what he would do or what he will do and how he will handle it if women inside the Chiefs facilities come to him and say, hey, what about this Harrison Bucker guy?
I don't think you're speaking ill to women, but he has his opinions, and we all respect that. I let you guys in this room, and you have a lot of opinions that I don't like.
It's true. It's a good point. But I, again, at the beginning, if you didn't hear it, he doesn't believe, and he said, I don't believe Harrison was speaking ill of women. Yeah, as I say, I've read the transcript. I've heard it. He was not blasting women or putting women down. In fact, he was encouraging them. How many people out there actually read it or watched the speech? And this is not a criticism, only a warning. How often do we fall for clickbait? And how often do we fall for a headline and just believe that the headline is accurate? It drives me bonkers as someone who works in this business, because I would agree at times the media industry is not trustworthy. Now, that's not all of us, okay? There is some integrity left in this business, but it bothers me so much. It makes me angry. While it is on us as individuals to, I think, to be informed, if it's a subject that we want to speak about, we probably should be informed about it. It is also a dirty trick that is employed just for getting clicks, just for putting the scintillating headline out there. And so often the headlines are misleading. How often do athletes fight back against this and take Harrison Butker and his commencement address out of the equation? How often athletes get so ticked off because something they say gets twisted into something that it never was intended to be with a headline on social media? And so when I first saw the headline about Harrison Butker telling women to get back in the kitchen, I was like, ah, that's, why would he do that, right? And then as I did a little more investigating, as I say, I didn't actually think it was that controversial once I started reading it and listened to it. But the headline was, he told women to get back in the kitchen. If that's the only headline you saw and that's the only line you saw, first of all, I hope it wasn't in quotes, because that would be a direct lie. But if that's the only part you saw, I can understand why you would jump on that bandwagon and be maybe angry about it. I would have been too if that's actually what he said. He didn't. So maybe check it out if you're interested. If you're not, well, great. You've heard all you need to know from me. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. I don't know if I'm the only one who has a bit of an issue with this, but Jay, why? It's gotten to the point now where it bothers me. I can't not talk about it.
Uh-oh.
Why do we need those little hovering nameplates and name tags over the top of hockey players when they're on a power play?
Oh, we don't.
Why?
We officially don't need those.
I'll just confess, I never got real mad about the tail on the puck.
Oh, I hate that too.
I know you do. And the fact that it was different colors, that annoyed me. I didn't hate it, though, because sometimes the puck goes behind the boards and you can't see it with the camera angle. So I didn't hate it. I was glad went away.
Yeah. I don't particularly watch the puck when I'm watching hockey.
That's true. Good point.
But it bothered me.
Yeah. Right. Good point. I mean, there are times where you lose the putt. The putt. Where you lose
the... my golf game, yeah.
You lose the... You lose the puck in a scrum and you can't see it, or the puck goes across the line and you don't know it because there's bodies in the way. Whatever. We have replay for that now. So the technology is so much better. It's just that the puck moves quickly and sometimes you can lose track of it. The tracer, I didn't hate it, but I also understand why hockey fans did, or why sports fans did. This little bobbing and weaving and hovering automatic name tag over the top of guys when they possess the puck on a power play.
It's terrible.
What the hell? What do we don't do that in any other sport. Why in every other sport?
Yeah, only the fastest moving one.
Yeah, I don't understand. In football, you can see their jersey numbers. In basketball, you can see their jersey numbers and their hairstyles too, which actually that's how I identify players when I'm doing play-by-play a lot. Why do we not have the same respect for the broadcast? Why do we need bobbing and weaving name tags that have little arrows that point to them?
I guess they think there's not as big of a national audience. They want everyone to know who they're watching. But just, I don't know.
But it's amateur hour.
Yeah, I hear that.
And there are plenty of people who tune into basketball games and they don't know who they're watching.
100%.
March Madness? How many people just tune in for March Madness and haven't watched these teams and don't know these athletes from Caitlin Clark?
The majority of people
who watch. Why can't we just assume that people are smart enough to A, find a jersey number, or B, look it up, or listen to the broadcast?
Yeah, how about that?
When did that start?
I don't know when that started.
Did it start in the regular season, or is it just playoffs?
No, definitely not in the regular season.
Because I don't recall seeing it then. It's annoying, and it's insulting, and it's amateur hour.
Preaching to the choir on that here. I agree, totally. It's horrible. It ruins the broadcast.
Yeah.
I'm trying to watch the game. And also what I hate
is
how
don't understand why. Why is it necessary?
I think from what I thought, that's what I can only reason I could think is that they think people just don't know the audience as well. But like you said, yeah, not everyone who watches the national basketball game, like who watched the Timberwolves last night and the Mavericks, knew every player on the court. They don't have it for that game.
Or like people tuning into the WNBA. I told you my mom couldn't have named three players a week ago, and now she's got her husband Googling bios and player names.
It is strange, because I feel like it doesn't get a good reception from the audience either. Right? Yet they still continue to force it on us.
It's a little bit like, it's almost as though subconsciously they're telling us, oh, it's okay. We know that you don't know hockey.
Right, right. It's like cradling it. Like, yeah. I can watch the game. Thank you.
Right. But again, I just don't understand why it's any different than any other sport. This was ESPN, right? Correct?
Yeah, it was.
ESPN carries all kinds of sports. I've never seen that before.
I don't know.
Maybe. The only other place I've ever seen it, and it's NBC who owns the Olympics, is like in a swimming lane where sometimes
when
you can't see the athlete because they're in the water.
In the pool.
Right,
yeah.
And you
face
can't
down.
Tell, like, yeah, with the lanes, the way that the camera angles are, you can't sometimes tell which lane different athletes are in. I don't understand why.
So the hockey game tonight is on TNT. I'm going to be curious. I'm going to keep an eye out for that, if they do that.
Yeah, I think it's insulting. To whether you're a diehard or whether you're someone who's just tuning in for the first time.
Kind of to the players, too, no?
Yeah, well, right. But I just think it's like coddling your TV audience.
Oh, absolutely it is.
Like, they can't pull out their phone and look up who's number 15. Or just listen to what they're saying on the broadcast.
Assume we might actually know something.
Why is it any different than any other sport? Again, it's like saying, "Oh, don't worry, we're gonna spoon feed you the NFL as if you aren't just gonna tune in and love it, right?" Like, ugh.
Right. And stop changing the ads on the ice mid game.
Jay.
Seeing like Firestone tires,
and then all of a sudden it changes.
It changes. Like they're on a rush up the ice, and then all of a sudden the ice is changing. It's enough. Like, can you wait?
Jay, we struck a chord with you and I. We've had a chord struck.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Won't be a surprise to see this as his 100th pitch might be 100 miles per hour.
3-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. 100 miles an hour. 11. Strikeouts for Skeens. 6 innings of no-hit baseball in his first career start on the road. What a man!
Wow.
Paul Skeens! You gotta love it, Pittsburgh! Oh. He's yours! The Bucks are up 8-0, 7th coming up.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jay and I are absurdly excited about the next Major League start for Paul Skeens. The former number one overall pick, who's had 2 starts under his belt, and his most recent 6 shutout / no-hit innings, struck out 11, as you hear on the Pirates radio network. And so coming up on Thursday, we've been tracking it. It's a 12:35 Pittsburgh time start against the San Francisco Giants. It's always fun when you're a West Coast team in the Eastern time zone, and it's 9:35 a.m. start time.
Good morning.
Anyway, it's a getaway day for many teams in Major League Baseball, and Skeens will oppose Mason Black of the Giants. First of all, I love PNC Park. It's one of my favorite parks in the majors, if not my favorite. But for him to, and his opener was against the Cubs, but it was home, and he said he didn't feel like himself. Wasn't really sure why. So it was more of a soft launch, if you will. It wasn't the type of start that people were expecting from him. But when he made that start at Wrigley Field and struck out the first 7 batters he faced and had 11 strikeouts over 6 hitless innings, this was already a new franchise record for the most Ks by a Pirates pitcher at Wrigley Field. I mean, it's neat that he was able to do it there. In fact, I don't know if we have the bite, but his response was, "It's frickin' Wrigley Field. It's sweet." So good for him as a rookie and as someone who has been working toward this opportunity his whole life. Yeah, maybe the first game where he gave up a handful of runs, couple of walks, it didn't go the way he wanted. But that first road start at Wrigley Field was a statement, or maybe a flag waving, a black and gold flag waving to the rest of Major League Baseball. Watch out, world. He's here.
He's the real deal.
He is the real deal. It's exciting. So, yeah, he will start again today against the Giants. And Jay and I have decided that we're going to be tracking with this rookie to see what happens next. I know the Pirates are a few games under 500. It's frustrating for many of you who are Pirates fans. I hear it all the time. You wish that there was new ownership, that the ownership would invest. I can certainly feel your pain, but you do have one hell of a starter, a guy that maybe a little bit like a Caitlin Clark will attract attention simply because he's on the mound. So the fact that he's pitching every, let's hope, every 5 days or every fifth day, that should put butts in the seats and get people excited. And I do sincerely hope that he stays in Pittsburgh.
They got a couple of good young pitchers right now. Another guy, Jared Jones. They're finally their years of, like, you know, awfulness or starting to
awfulness.
Show something.
Well, the issue is very often they have these uber rookies and these incredible young players, right? And then what happens? They don't re-sign them. They don't want to pay top dollar for these guys. And so they go and they take the money and they take the free agent deals elsewhere. So I understand why a lot of Pirates fans maybe don't want to get excited about a young player, but hey, you have the first chance to see this guy in his major league career. So I do hope that that provides Pirates fans with some excitement, because Jay and I are we're excited for
we're
you.
All in on skis.
Yeah, we're in. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page, too. We'll get back to some hoops at the top of the hour, but Bryce is in Colorado. Bryce, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me so much.
You're welcome.
Here to talk Rangers hockey, and I have a question for Jay. Specifically.
Are you a Rangers fan? Is this like you talking to your brother, your fellow Rangers fan, and Jay?
Just about as diehard as I can get.
Oh, nice. A kindred spirit, Jay.
After game one, does Peter Laviolette have to shake the lineup up with Rempe sitting in the press box above watching below?
Jay,
what is Peter Laviolette's call? In game two.
Yeah, Jay, he wants to know, should he be shaking up the lineups? Peter Laviolette, should he be shaking up the lineups and changing it up a little bit? What does he do in game number two to change the narrative?
Well, Rempe wasn't playing in this game. He was already in the press box. So I don't, for game two, no, I keep him in there. I don't think he can keep up with the speed of the Panthers right now.
All right, so you do not put Rempe into the lineup?
No, I do not.
Gotcha. Does that help, Bryce? What do you think?
Okay, with eight shots through two periods, what is the changeup that the Rangers need to make to change the narrative in game two?
What do you think, Jay?
I think they need to learn how to get the puck out of their own zone. They've been doing this the last few games now. They keep going to the side of the boards, and the Panthers seem to know this, and they're lining up on the sides of the boards and not allowing the Rangers to break out. But the Rangers and Laviolette didn't do anything in that game one to try to adjust to that defensive play by the Panthers. So the Rangers need to learn how to break out through the middle of the ice, or maybe stretch the ice a little more for some longer passes and get behind that defense, because the Panthers are forechecking and the Rangers can't break out of it.
Mm. So they're playing right into their hands.
That's right.
Did you get it, Bryce?
Oh, Bryce, what happened? You sound like you're in a bathroom now.
Did they get it played by the Rangers?
Oh, sorry.
The New York Rangers will bounce back in game two.
Gotcha. All right. I like to hear it. I'm not sure what happened there. Maybe because it right now, I'm assuming when Colorado, he's in mountain time, and maybe he's I don't know, he's like falling asleep or swaying.
That's the altitude.
Oh, actually, he's swaying in his angst over the Rangers. So he's like swaying back and forth. And when he sways closer to the phone, it's better. But when he sways away from the phone, then we can't hear him. Or maybe he was in the bathroom. Tell the truth. How many of you talk on the phone when you're in the bathroom? Okay, I'll raise my hand. You don't talk on the phone when you're in the bathroom?
Maybe I do.
All right. I mean, maybe a little bit different for a dude. But trust me, chicks talk on the phone when we're in the bathroom. It's just how it goes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Won't be surprised to see this as his 100th pitch might be 100 miles per hour.
3-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. 100 miles an hour. 11 strikeouts for Skeens. 6 innings of no-hit baseball in his first career start on the road. What a man.
Wow.
Paul Skeens. You got to love it, Pittsburgh. He's yours. The Bucks are up 8-0. 7th coming up.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jay and I are absurdly excited about the next major league start for Paul Skeens, the former number one overall pick, who's had 2 starts under his belt, and his most recent 6 shutout / no-hit innings, struck out 11, as you hear on the Pirates radio network. And so coming up on Thursday, we've been tracking it. It's a 12:35 Pittsburgh time start against the San Francisco Giants. It's always fun when you're a West Coast team in the Eastern time zone, and it's 9:35 a.m. start time.
Good morning.
Anyway, it's a getaway day for many teams in Major League Baseball, and Skeens will oppose Mason Black of the Giants. First of all, I love PNC Park. It's one of my favorite parks in the majors, if not my favorite. But for him to, and his opener was against the Cubs, but it was home, and he said he didn't feel like himself. Wasn't really sure why. So it was more of a soft launch, if you will. It wasn't the type of start that people were expecting from him. But when he made that start at Wrigley Field and struck out the first 7 batters he faced and had 11 strikeouts over 6 hitless innings, this was already a new franchise record for the most Ks by a Pirates pitcher at Wrigley Field. I mean, it's neat that he was able to do it there. In fact, I don't know if we have the bite, but his response was, it's frickin' Wrigley Field. It's sweet. So good for him as a rookie and as someone who has been working toward this opportunity his whole life. Yeah, maybe the first game where he gave up a handful of runs, couple of walks, it didn't go the way he wanted. But that first road start at Wrigley Field was a statement, or maybe a black and gold flag waving to the rest of Major League Baseball. Watch out, world. He's here.
He's the real deal.
He is the real deal. It's exciting. So, yeah, he will start again today against the Giants. And Jay and I have decided that we're going to be tracking with this rookie to see what happens next. I know the Pirates are a few games under 500. It's frustrating for many of you who are Pirates fans. I hear it all the time. You wish that there was new ownership, that the ownership would invest. I can certainly feel your pain, but you do have one hell of a starter, a guy that maybe a little bit like a Caitlin Clark will attract attention simply because he's on the mound. So the fact that he's pitching every 5 days or every 5th day, that should put butts in the seats and get people excited. And I do sincerely hope that he stays in Pittsburgh.
They got a couple of good young pitchers right now. Another guy, Jared Jones. They're finally their years of awfulness or starting to show something.
Well, the issue is very often they have these uber rookies and these incredible young players, right? And then what happens? They don't re-sign them. They don't want to pay top dollar for these guys. And so they go and they take the money and they take the free agent deals elsewhere. So I understand why a lot of Pirates fans maybe don't want to get excited about a young player. But hey, you have the first chance to see this guy in his major league career. So I do hope that that provides Pirates fans with some excitement, because Jay and I are we're excited for
you. All in on skis.
Yeah, we're in. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page, too. We'll get back to some hoops at the top of the hour, but Bryce is in Colorado. Bryce, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me so much.
You're welcome.
Here to talk Rangers hockey, and I have a question for Jay.
Are you a Rangers fan? Is this like you talking to your brother, your fellow Rangers fan, and Jay?
Just about as diehard as I can get.
Oh, nice. The kindred spirit, Jay.
After game one, does Peter Laviolette have to shake the lineup up with Rempe sitting in the press box above watching below?
Jay,
what is Peter Laviolette's call? In game two.
Yeah, Jay, he wants to know, should he be shaking up the lineups? Peter Laviolette, should he be shaking up the lineups and changing it up a little bit? What does he do in game number two to change the narrative?
Well, Rempe wasn't playing in this game. He was already in the press box. So I don't, for game two, no, I keep him in there. I don't think he can keep up with the speed of the Panthers right now.
All right, so you do not put Rempe into the lineup?
No, I do not.
Gotcha. Does that help, Bryce? What do you think?
Okay, with eight shots through two periods, what is the changeup that the Rangers need to make to change the narrative in game two?
What do you think, Jay?
I think they need to learn how to get the puck out of their own zone. They've been doing this the last few games now. They keep going to the side of the boards, and the Panthers seem to know this, and they're lining up on the sides of the boards and not allowing the Rangers to break out. But the Rangers and Laviolette didn't do anything in that game one to try to adjust to that defensive play by the Panthers. So the Rangers need to learn how to break out through the middle of the ice, or maybe stretch the ice a little more for some longer passes and get behind that defense, because the Panthers are forechecking and the Rangers can't break out of it.
Mm. So they're playing right into their hands.
That's right.
Did you get that play?
Oh, Bryce, what happened? You sound like you're in a bathroom now.
Did they get outplayed by the Rangers?
Oh, sorry.
The New York Rangers will bounce back in game two.
Gotcha. All right. I like to hear it. I'm not sure what happened there. Maybe because it right now, I'm assuming when Colorado, he's in mountain time, and maybe he's I don't know, he's like falling asleep or swaying.
That's the altitude.
Oh, actually, he's swaying in his angst over the Rangers. So he's like swaying back and forth. And when he sways closer to the phone, it's better. But when he sways away from the phone, then we can't hear him. Or maybe he was in the bathroom. Tell the truth. How many of you talk on the phone when you're in the bathroom? Okay, I'll raise my hand. You don't talk on the phone when you're in the bathroom?
Maybe I do.
All right. I mean, maybe a little bit different for a dude. But trust me, chicks talk on the phone when we're in the bathroom. It's just how it goes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.